Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Today is Wednesday, July 1st, 2015, and we welcome you to New Beginning Ministries blog broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, And tonight, our scripture is coming from Matthew 24. Matthew 24, praise the Lord, new beginnings and not just for the young. Before I begin, I want to read from a devotional called Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence. The word for today from this book is, I am life and light in abundance. Spend time soaking in my presence. You are energized, enlightened. Through communing with me, you transfer your heavy burdens to my strong shoulders. By gazing at me, you gain my perspective on your life. This time alone with me is essential for unscrambling your thoughts and smoothing out the day before you. Be willing to fight for this precious time with me. Opposition comes in many forms. Your own desire to linger in bed, the evil one's determination to distract you from me, the pressure of family, friends, and your own inner critic to spend your time more productively. As you grow in your desire to please me above all else, you gain strength to resist these opponents. Delight yourself in me, for I am the deepest desire of your heart. Praise the Lord. So is Jesus the deepest desire of your heart today? Do you have a longing to be with him, to know him more, to live a life that's committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm enjoying this, the book, this devotional. And there's another one that I'll share with you also later from another devotional that I frequently use. Before we start, I want to again welcome you and say thank you for being here. And say thank you for being here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want to pray. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get started. Father God, we praise your name, and we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of Bible study, Father. We thank you, Father God, for all those that are listening right now and those that, who will listen through the archives, Father, those that will join us online, Father God, and those that are sitting around my table at this time, dear Lord. We praise you and we thank you. We thank you, Father God, that you would direct our study, Father God, and direct our speech, Father God, direct our thoughts, dear Lord, as we go through the word, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that this will be saved in the archives, Father God. So please, Holy Spirit, please, Holy Spirit, direct the, take control over the entire broadcast and the entire study. In Jesus' name, we just praise you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you would just open up our eyes so that we can, and our ears and our mind, that we can understand the word, Father God, that we can pull out the jewels that are hidden in your word, dear Lord, because we know that as we read through, Lord, and as we study and as we commit our study to you, Father God, that, that you reveal more and more and more to us, Father, and we praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen, amen, amen. 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 Okay, tonight we're going to come from Matthew 24. I'm Suzanne. My husband, John, is here, and Norman is sitting around the table with us. And as you call in, if you would like to speak, add something to the conversation that we're having around the table, because it's just like we're sitting here having a coffee clutch, that you would just press 1, and that will let us know that, that you need to be on the line. Okay, we're looking at Matthew 24:12. And I'm going to tell you this. My pastor, Pastor Neil May, came from this scripture on Sunday at Sunday service, and that's Matthew 24:12. And as when he read it, I took my notes, and I am going to even go back and look at the podcast from that. But in reading it, I read the whole, you know how I feel about context. So I'd like to go back and just revisit it one more time. So I'm going to read that scripture and then go back and read all of Matthew. Well, I'm going to read Matthew 24 up until near the end of it. So Matthew 24:12 says, sin will be rampant everywhere and will cool the love of many. But those enduring to the end shall be saved. Praise God. And this scripture is talking about the persecution, in my notes, persecution of the believers. And it was apropos for what we are experiencing today as Christian believers in the United States. Notice I did not say in America. I'm saying in the United States, because America is not limited to these 50 states and those districts that are associated with the 50 states. America is of the entire Americas. So, again, this is about the person, about what's going on today. And it was apropos, as my pastor said, that this was written, of course, many years ago, over 2,000 years ago. But the word is still true today. This is still true today. Again, sin will be rampant everywhere and will cool the love of many. And many Christians have been asking questions about what's happening and what's going on and where are we going to go with this and what should we be doing and we should march and we should fight and we should do such and such and all the things that we should do. But one of the things that we should do as Christian believers, and I want to say this clearly, and I hope that I say it on and on through this, that God is still God. God is still God, regardless of what Caesar, regardless of what the government does or says, God is still God. He is still on the throne. And for me, when I look at this time and the things that are going on and the things that we've seen over the past, not just few years, few generations, it's like the Lord is still doing the sorting. So let's go back to the beginning of 24 and let's talk about what is happening here. This is where Jesus is telling us that there's going to be persecution. And at the beginning of Matthew 24, verse 1, it says, as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples came along and wanted to take him on tour of the various temple buildings, but he told them, and this is coming from the Living Bible, but he told them, all these buildings will be knocked down, and with not one stone left on top of another. When will this happen, the disciples asked him later, as he sat on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. What events will signal your return and the end of the world, or the end of this age? Praise God. Jesus told them, don't let anyone fool you. For many will come claiming to be the Messiah and will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars beginning, this does not signal my return. These must come, but the end is not yet. The nations and kingdoms of the earth will rise against each other, and there will be famines and earthquakes in many places. But all this will be only the beginning of the horrors to come. Then you will be tortured and killed and hated all over the world because you are mine. And many of you shall fall back into sin and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and lead many astray. Sin will be rampant everywhere and will cool the love of many, but those enduring to the end shall be saved. We're going to stop there and go over what we just talked about. Jesus warned us that people were going to come about and fool us. We know that there are religions and so-called prophets that are prophesying or prophelying and saying that the Messiah is here, the Messiah is coming, or talking about their interpretation and misinterpreting the Bible, saying that we're going to be fooled. And there are those that have called themselves Christians who are being fooled right now, right today, who think that things are okay. We have people that are Christians that are calling themselves Christians and calling themselves Christian leaders and are preaching things that are not scriptural, things that are not of God. And I'm not saying that that we need to scrutinize everyone. That's the point. That the Lord is sorting it out. The Lord is sorting it out so that we as believers who are true believers, who are looking at the word and examining the word, and when we hear something, hear someone preaching, we're going home and we're reading the scripture and making sure and praying about it, praying for understanding of what's being said, and even searching your spirit, the Holy Spirit will give you an unction of whether that's something that you should believe or should not believe. Some of us have unteachable spirits where we're not going to believe anything, or we're unteachable as far as the truth is concerned, but we'll believe anything as long as it goes along with our way of life. So we as Christian believers are being sorted out too. So don't think that it's just those outside of the church that are being shown for who they are, those that are living in sin, those who are refusing to accept the way of the word and are going into the way of the world, but yet calling themselves Christian and saying it's okay. So we have to, this is our time of sorting, and it's okay because God promised that he was going to raise up the weeds along with the wheat. And when that sifting comes, it's the weeds or the tear that's going to fly away that won't be able to stand the sifting. The question is, will you be able to stand? God's word tells us what we just read was that that there will be some of us, and many of you shall fall back into sin. That's in Matthew 24:10. That there are going to be Christian believers, those who call themselves believers, who will fall back into sin and betray each other. They'll turn away from God. They'll turn back to sin in their way of life, missing the things of Egypt, missing the, the leeks of Egypt, and refusing manna. Refusing manna, the manna of God, that they will turn away and they will even turn against each other. So they'll turn against those that they call brothers and sisters. They'll turn against their family, the body of Christ, and turn back to what they knew. And that's one of the problems with sin, is that when sin has a foothold on you and it's in you and you haven't completely gotten it out, haven't completely turned it over, there's always that trace that remains. And that trace is so familiar that under pressure you may turn back to it. So you can even think about, if when we talk about people who've gone through anger management or any kind of counseling or whatever, under pressure a person will turn back to what they know unless they have Christ in their life and have been redeemed from that sin, unless they've given it completely over to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a propensity, there's a habit, there's a chance that they will go back to what they know, what was familiar, what was comfortable, what was fun, what they already knew. So they'll go back to sin. So under pressure, it said again, back to verses 9 and 10, then you will be tortured and killed and hated all over the world because you are mine. So people, if they're being tortured and persecuted, this is where the persecution comes in. See, we as United States citizens don't know persecution like folks in other parts of the world. We're not familiar with that. So we don't know what it's like to say that I'm a Christian and be shot. We don't know what it's like to not have a cross. My house is a cross sitting out in the front. I have blessing scriptures on the doors and in the bathroom, and you know, there's always evidence of it. At Christmas time, there's evidence that this house is a house where Christians live. But I have the freedom, I have the liberty to do that. Would I be able to do that? Would I have that same liberty if we were living in a state, living in a place where people were being persecuted, where somebody would come and burn my house or drag me out of the house? Because I'm a Christian, because I have a Bible. My husband and I walk proudly out of the house on Sunday mornings on our way to church with our Bibles in hand, you know, going to church, happy to go to church, you know, passing out, telling people to, you know, come to church, letting people know we have Bible study at home, we have Bible study at the library, you know, come on, we have Bible study online or whatever. But when we have that same boldness, if we had the liberty and we were living in another country where they don't have that type of liberty, where they would be persecuted. Well, saints, those persecutions are coming here too. So if you're living in a place where we have that kind of freedom, praise God for it. Preach it. Preach it freely. Preach it freely, because it's going to become more and more difficult. And those difficult days may be closer than we think. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Do we have any comments? Okay, back to the scripture at hand. Sin will be rampant everywhere and will cool the love of many, but those enduring to the end shall be. If you can just hold on while the Lord is sorting it through. It's not for us to go into the church. There are churches, there are the denominations that are, see, one of the issues is that because with the Supreme Court ruling recently about same-sex marriage, and Christians are, we're so upset about that. It's so much more than that. It's so much more than that that we're looking at. That's obvious. That's part of the sorting. But what's your reaction to it? Are you reacting to it in hate? Are you reacting to people in hate? God, Jesus said that we're to love one another, and that you can win people over. You can bring people to Christ with a gentle word, with a loving spirit. We're supposed to love one another. Another thing is that if you believe that sin, are you free from sin? If you believe that that is sin, and I'm not saying that it's not, what I'm saying is that the Bible talks about a lot of different sins. If you have lived or are living a life where you're involved with, if you're fornicating, if you have pornography, if you're gambling, if you're cursing, if you're gossiping, if you're stealing, if you brought home an ink pen from work, you stole it. There's so many things. If you lied on your taxes, that's stealing, that's lying. If you look at your neighbor's husband or wife and you look at them longingly, admiringly, that's sin. So the Lord doesn't put a rating on the sin. Sin is sin. Sin is sin, and we're supposed to love the sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I cannot forget that I'm a sinner saved by grace. Because I'm not operating in that sin right now does not mean that I'm not I don't have any kind of sin. Because I'm a Christian and I'm saved by grace does not mean I'm free from it, that I'm completely free from it. Remember, saints, because under pressure, we could easily fall back into whatever the sin may have been. So rather than judging or being a hate monger, which is sin, we have to be lovingly and warmly pray for people that are in sin, including ourselves, and welcoming them in. Now, I know that goes into another conversation too about where people belong in church, but that's not our topic today. Maybe we'll save that for another day. Do we have any more comments? Yes.
Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and short of the glory of God. That's why our very nature, being product of Adam and Eve, we have inherited sin. We lie, we steal, and maybe in a way that we don't even recognize that we're doing it, but we're doing it. But we have to demonstrate a sense of brotherly love, as Christ did, to everybody, and let God be the judge of who's going into heaven, who's not. When Jesus is here, he dealt with everybody, and those who were sick, those who did not do exactly as his father had willed, he still worked with them to get them to see the light. We're supposed to spread the gospel, and we're a clear example of that, the fruit that we bear.
Amen. Amen.
So we have to be very cognitive of our actions, what we say, how we interact with people. Because we're gonna be that light to lead people to Christ.
Amen. 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 And bearing fruit. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. Because it's not, how are you going to how are you going to speak, evangelize someone, or share Christ with them if you just, like we have people spitting on people, you know, actually physically spitting on people, cursing people out? Why would anyone want be drawn to you or to your faith if that's the way you behave? If that's the way you behave.
Yes.
We need to think about that. We need to think about even the name calling. And I know that we're living in times that where what's wrong is right and what's right is wrong. And we see that in 2 Timothy 3. Anybody want to turn to that? 2 Timothy 2 Timothy 3 talks about what's wrong is right and what's right is wrong. And this speaks of where we talk about the Lord sorting things out. For if you go to verse, well, I'll start with 3. You may as well know this too, Timothy, that in last days it is going to be very difficult to be a Christian, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be proud and boastful, sneering at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful to them, and thoroughly bad. They will be hard-headed and never give in to others. They will be constant liars and troublemakers and will think nothing of immorality. They will be rough and cruel and sneer at those who try to be good. They will betray their friends. They will be hot-headed, puffed up with pride, and prefer good times to worshiping God. They will go to church, yes, but they don't really believe anything they hear. See, some people will use church as a routine, and that's the other part of the sorting. Those who are like that won't be able to sit under true word. They won't be able to sit in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the church is activated and worshiping God and serving the true and living God. Don't be taken in by people like that. Those are the great pretenders, like the song. Oh, yes, what's the song? Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender, pretending that you're still around.
Yes.
Those that are pretending that the Holy Spirit is still there in their church, but there's no activation in the church. There's no miracles, no signs, no wonders, but they're still going to church, doing the ritual of church, the traditions of their church, but not serving a true and living God, not serving Jesus Christ, not having Christ in their heart, not committed to the word, not living the words that's supposed to be lived. Praise God. They are the kind who craftily sneak into other people's homes and make friendships with silly, sin-burdened women and teach them their doctrine. Women of that kind are forever following new teachers, but they never understand the truth. Now, the word woman can be translated to people because this is teaching us to beware of false teachers that sneak into your house, through the television, through the radio, through inviting folks in, that you're willing to believe anything because you're too lazy to search the word and pray and find it out for yourself. Find the Bible believing, Bible teaching, Jesus speaking church that's going to teach it for yourself. But they never understand the truth. These people that tenders, the foolishness of following money and where the money is. So I'll go to the big church because so-and-so goes there. I'll follow this group because they dress nice, and that's everybody, the pastor, and everybody's driving Cadillacs, and they want to, you know, they want what's there because it looks good. It's good to have that and be affiliated with that church. You got to be careful of that. They have dirty minds and warped and twisted, and they've turned against the Christian faith. But they still may be sitting in what they're calling a Christian church, even though they've turned against the Christian faith. So it's not just people that are in other faiths. It could be people that are in denominational faiths that are not in Christian, true Christian churches. Praise God. Let's turn to Isaiah 5:20 and 21. And what does Isaiah have to say? Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. Isaiah 5, did I have the right one? Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. They say that what is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right, that black is white and white is black, bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. Woe to those who are wise and shrewd in their own eyes. Woe to those who are heroes when it comes to drinking and boasting about the liquor they can hold. Bribes to pervert justice, letting the wicked go free, and putting innocent men in jail. Therefore, God will deal with them and burn them. They will disappear like straw on fire. Their roots will not rot and their flowers wither. Their roots will rot and their flowers wither, but they have thrown away the laws of God and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Wow. Holy of holies. You can't ignore the word. You can't ignore the word. And here's the great part, that the Lord doesn't need me. I don't have to be. I'm on Jesus's. I'm a cheerleader for Jesus. A drum major for Jesus, but he doesn't need me. He's got all them by himself. He's got all by himself. Praise God. Praise God. And the good news, back to Matthew 24:14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then finally the end will come. So when you see the horrible thing told about by Daniel the prophet standing in a holy place, then those in Judea must flee into the Judean hills. Those on their porches must not even go inside to pack before they flee. Those in the fields should not return to their homes for their clothes. And this is the rapture we're talking about. And woe to the pregnant woman and to those with babies in their days. And pray that your flight will not be in the winter and on the Sabbath, for there will be persecution such as the world has never before seen in all its history and will never see again. In fact, unless those days are shortened, all mankind will perish, but they will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen people. The chosen few. It's those chosen few, the ones who are going to take a stand, the ones that under pressure won't turn back and go back into sin, the ones who are going to believe the word and continue to worship the true and living God, those who will not participate in what the world does, but will be part of what the word says, who are choosing the word over the world. See, the sorting takes place because God is still on the throne. Regardless of what the justices say, the Supreme Court says, regardless of what the world says or what they're saying on Facebook, and everybody's putting the rainbow on their pictures and so forth, regardless of the lights on the White House and everything, God is still in control. Amen. He is still in control. And as that story comes, the people showing their true colors, and we're seeing who, what is what and who is who, and those that are calling black, white, and white, black, just like the book I read yesterday of those of the calling the black, white, and white, black, it reminds me of George Orwell's book, 1984, of when they tried to make the man say that 2 + 2 = 5. Remember that?
No.
And so they kept telling him that, and torturing him and telling him that. So finally he just went on and said, yes, 2 + 2 = 5. So that regardless of what you see, in spite of it, that you're going to go along with it. So to know that the right is wrong and wrong is right, to let like at the cross, letting the choosing to let the thief go and having Jesus serve in his place and be crucified, choosing what is wrong and letting the guilty go free, but persecuting those that are innocent. That's coming. That's coming. That's coming. And we see it. We see it today. Saints, we have to pray. We have to pray for protection over our children and our families. We have to pray that we not be fooled by the false teachers, the false prophets. We have to pray that we're strong enough, that our spiritual eyes and ears and our minds are, and that the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and that we are spiritually keen and attuned to the things of God. We have to pray. We have to stay in prayer and stay and keep one another lifted up, because even we can go astray, can be easily turned away. I pray that I'm strong enough to withstand. I pray that I not be fooled. Do we have any comments? Do we have any comments?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would remember as being servants, we're servants of God, and it's something we really want to be proud of.
Praise God.
Sometimes people look down upon servants. We feel we have to be leaders and we have to be in lofty positions, but we have to avoid being hypocrites and constantly be in relationship with God and ask Him, what is it that you want me to do? How can I serve you?
Amen.
As opposed to, I know what you want, God, and this is what's going to be.
Amen.
We have to remember what position we're in. We're in the position to serve, you know, to be a servant.
Amen.
So that we're able to do God's will. And that's the demonstration of love and to help others grow.
Amen. Amen.
And spread the gospel and spread the light.
Amen. Amen. And I'm glad you brought that up about being a servant, because Jesus was a perfect example of a servant leader.
Amen.
A leader that went with, he didn't just tell the disciples what to do, where to go, what, you know, what to say. He taught them, he went with them, he worked with them, he was right there with them, in the dirt, with the people, he was right there with them. And being a servant leader, and that's what you do, you're with the people. I won't ask you to do anything that I won't do myself if I'm a good leader, a servant leader. A servant leader is one who knows that they're there to serve, that the whole is better because we all serve together. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Area code 631, were you going to say something?
Yeah. I say a prayer every day, every night, throughout the day, and in any moment that I am in a point where I can't make a choice, I always ask God to guide me and strengthen me on my way too. I always pray for my children. I always pray for everybody, you know, enemies of, and everybody, okay?
Right.
And I was thinking back when I started my faith walk, and I was thinking about how God surrounded me with all these godly people, and then I ended up working in a church. And I said, wow. I said, He's just surrounding me in every which way. And even up till today with Sister Cook there, she's still guiding me on the way. I thank Jesus for her, and I thank God that you guys are doing this on a weekly basis, because I can't get to my church all the time, and I'm grateful. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much, and thank you for the encouraging word. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Matthew 24:22 again says, in fact, unless those days are shortened, all mankind will perish, but they will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen people. Then if anyone tells you the Messiah has arrived at such and such a place or has appeared here or there, don't believe it, for false Christ shall arise and false prophets will do wonderful miracles, so that if it were possible, even God's chosen ones would be deceived. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, even the chosen ones, even the ones that the Lord has put in office and put in place may be deceived. And that's where our prayer life, having a strong prayer life and a relationship with God, will help you to be able to discern those that are false and those that are true. Those miracles that are false and those that are true, those people and prophets that are false and those that are true, the preachers and teachers who are false and those that are true. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. For as the lightning flashes across the sky, oh, wait a minute, I skipped something. So I have warned you. So if someone tells you the Messiah has returned and is out in the desert, don't bother to go and look. Or that he is hiding at a certain place, don't believe it. For as the lightning flashes across the sky from east to west, so shall my coming be when I, the Messiah, return. And wherever the carcass is, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the persecution of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light, and the stars will seem to fall from the heavens, and the powers overshadowing the earth will be convulsed. And then at last the signal of my coming will appear in the heaven, and there will be deep mourning all around the earth. And the nations of the world will see me arrive in the clouds of the heaven with power and great glory. And I shall send forth my angels with the sound of a mighty trumpet blast, and they shall gather my chosen ones from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Praise God. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When her branch is tender and the leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is almost here. Just so, when you see all these things beginning to happen, you can know that my return is near, even at the doors. Then at last, this age will come to its close. Praise God. So Christ's return, we see what it says. So don't believe it when false teachers tell us that Jesus is here or there. Don't go running to that. You know what the signs are. What the sun, it says that immediately after the persecution of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light and the stars will seem to fall from the heavens and the powers overshadowing the earth will be convulsed. That's when you know that that Jesus Christ is returning. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And we know that there have been many false teachers. I remember when we were coming to the year 2000, and people, there was the side that was saying that there was going to be a great apocalypse because the computers weren't going to know what to do when we turned to at 1999. They won't know what to do. And we weren't ready for that. You need to get all the water, remember? And canned food and gas. Fill your car up with gas because there won't be gas. You need to have batteries. You need to have kerosene. People were buying kerosene heaters and canned foods and everything because nothing's going to operate once the clock turns over to 2000. And just as easy as 1999 went out, 2000 came in. And here we are, 2015, and there's some people that don't even remember that. Praise God. Or the people that were downtown, and every city has a square or downtown where people are, where the folks were, false prophets were prophesying that the end of the world is near, the 2000, that was it, January 1st, repent, 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 because you won't make it. Only those that are those that were going to go through the tribulation were going to be here. Everyone else, those that are saints, were going to be raptured out, and that was the time. And I don't know if anyone was raptured. Unfortunately, I was still here. If there was a rapture, and so many other people that I truly, truly love, I'm praying that when the rapture comes that I'll be here. But that was not it. So we have to know that in our, like my Nana would say, know in our knower that what's true and what's not true. So So, and the only way you're going to know that is having a relationship with Jesus Christ, asking the Holy Spirit to give you that spirit of discernment, a keen discernment to be able to discern right from wrong and wrong from right, black from white and white from black. Is 2 plus 2 4 or is 2 plus 2 5? You need to know that it takes the Holy Spirit to tell you that. Because as we go into these dark times, people are going to be challenging you on your faith. You're going to have challenges every day. Will you be able to take it? Will you be able to stand? There'll be people, we talk about children bullying. Well, now you see that the bullying and persecution of Christians to say that you're born again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing, tongue-talking, believing in miracles, Christian, people will turn their nose up about that. But let them come to a need. I remember working in one place, and there were some people that were very disrespectful. They didn't think it was disrespectful. They thought it was funny, but that's what happens when right is wrong and wrong is right. And some people would call me the church lady. Oh, the church lady, oh, she's praying. And there were people that would come. We had a prayer group at this particular job, and we would pray every morning and come together and pray. Well, there came a time when there was a issue, and some of those same people who were calling me the prayer lady and laughing, of course, would invite me to some of the after-school stuff, and that's okay because I wasn't going to no happy hour anyway, but where they would call me on the phone and say, such and such is happening in my family, would you mind saying a prayer for me, or writing a note and saying, you know, could you pray for me? Or we had one of the ladies that I worked with, she was very ill, and she eventually passed, and even my boss asked if I would lead the whole organization in prayer. And so that gave me and asked me to do that on site for a meeting. And so I did do that. But it's disrespectful. They had been disrespectful before. But the thing is, in spite of the disrespect, they saw that there was prayer going on and there was a difference. And there must be some kind of power in the prayer. Otherwise, they wouldn't have asked. And it has nothing to do with me. I just happen to be a vessel. Jesus doesn't need me, per se. He could have used any one of those ladies, and I'm sure he did, that were in the prayer circle. This person just happened to have this person ask me. But it doesn't have to be me. It could be anybody. The Lord will use whoever is willing and able, whoever it is. It does not have nothing to do with me. I just happen to be the person that said the prayer. Amen. 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 Do we have any more comments?
I want to add on a few things that I jotted. Speaking about testimony, we have to be ready in season and out of season to be ready to give a testimony to those who may be in search of the Lord, because there's going to come a time where things are going to become considered lawless, where everybody's doing anything and everything that they want to do, and we have to be in season and prepared to give a testimony for those who don't know what direction to go. So just looking at this scripture, there is a law that God wants us to follow. We have to be obedient to the law, and being obedient to the law meaning that we are following the word of God. Again, when we are following the word of God, those who are out of alignment, who are not following the word of God, they're going to be looking for you. They're going to be looking for me to give them advice or to give a testimony. We're testifying in terms of why God has been the way that he's been to us. I can say for myself as my testimony, God has been gracious to me. When I've fallen short, when I've made mistakes, God was gracious enough and loving enough to still take me in, to still forgive me whatever mistakes that I've made. And my testimony is that wherever I go, God goes. So can nobody tell me that it is dark when I know it to be light? So if you know what's right and you know what's wrong, stick to what's right and don't follow those who choose to go in the wrong direction, because you may not want to befriend them or you don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. But if you know what's right, if you know what's right, do what's right, and that's what I see in here. Because there's going to come an end. There's going to come a time when everything is going to close. Our chapter is going to close, and then we're talking about salvation and what we've done, the time that we've been here. Amen.
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 I know that just like my husband was saying, that we have to stay the course. We have to stay the course. Because the weeds are coming up with the good wheat. And so we have to decide that it's okay to be different. And it's okay to have your opinion. It's okay. And you're going to have to learn to be comfortable with it. And the way that we learn to be comfortable with it is to fellowship with people that are like-minded. To be with in the community of saints.
You know, when you mention that term being different, I look at that, you know, I think about peculiar.
Amen.
Being different. Peculiar. Not the same as everybody else, but being peculiar. And when we are as a child of God, as a Christian, we are going to be looked at as different. Different from the rest of the world, simply because we are holding on to Christ. We're not holding on to what the world says, but we're holding on to what God says. And that's going to be the difference. Whose report do you believe? Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And that comes down to having a relationship with God,
amen.
A personal relationship with Him, that you are able to discern darkness from light.
Amen.
And you're not being led by false prophets and false teachers.
Amen.
Anyway, you have an ultimate teacher, Jesus Christ, and you have His Word in the Scriptures, the Bible.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody told me one time, if you got doubt, get out. And then
say it again.
A sister at church told me so one time, if you got doubt, get out. And thinking about, I told her what my favorite scripture was, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
And,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love that scripture. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about greater.
You can walk with it, talk with it. Nobody can't take it away from you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And that becomes that's a testimony within itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be faced with a lot of challenges, whether it be physical, mental, job, economic. You have to be able to stand your ground.
Amen.
And you're going to be able to stand your ground because of your relationship with Christ. He's going to stand by you and lead you and support you along your journey.
Amen.
Not you. It's Christ, God.
Amen.
Amen. So how are we peculiar, and how do we stand our ground? I'm going to quote my pastor, and he said the choice should reflect your value. So you choose to love God, and you choose to love people.
Mm-hmm.
It should reflect your value. So regardless of what other people's values are and how they're acting, we can still be loving. We can still be loving. And that doesn't mean we compromise our values. That doesn't mean we compromise our morals, compromise the Word of God. We don't do that. It doesn't mean that we turn our back on Jesus Christ. It means that we lovingly stand our ground. That, again, that choice should reflect our values, that we love God and we love people.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not lovingly
treating our brother and sister?
That's right.
What are we showing them about the God we serve?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you all so much for letting me speak today. This has been on my heart. Last week I was telling my husband, my heart was so heavy for so many things that were going on, and I would just be driving and a tear would roll down my face, and I'll wipe the tear away, and then more tears will come, and it's like, what is wrong with me? I'm not depressed or anything, but it's that I just felt heaviness. And then over the weekend, it felt even more heavy, and I called out to the Lord and just like, Lord, help me to understand this. Help me to, you know, what does all this mean? What am I supposed to be doing? How do I pray? I don't even know how to pray. But God is good. God is good. And I appreciate you all letting me speak and being patient with me this evening. I really do. I really do. Well, it's time for us to close down if no one else has anything to say. We want to, there are a few people. Do we have any prayer requests? Any prayer requests? Or we want to take turns and pray. Sister, if anybody has anyone to pray, do you want to just call out their names? We're going to pray for healing and deliverance. Praise God. Father God, we praise your name and we thank you. We praise your name and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for this time of prayer and seeking this evening, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, and I pray, Lord, that all was pleasing to you, Father God, and that the word was rightly divided. I thank you, Father God, that if not, Father God, that you would please reveal it to us, Father God, or where we were in error, Father God, and please correct us, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, dear Lord, that you would just remove all sins of omission and commission from everyone who is around this table and those who are listening, Father God, as we come before you, Father God, and we lay this word down, Father God, praying and thanking you, Lord, for the word that's gone forth, Father God, that it take root, Father God, and that it grow and that it flourish. We praise you, Father, for this evening. We ask you, Lord, to bless each and every household, Father God, that is around this table, Father God, in our circle of influence, Father God, listening to the radio, the computer, to the Blog Talk Radio this evening, Father God, and those who will listen in the future, Father God, that they would be blessed, Father God. Bless their coming and their going right now in the name of Jesus, dear Lord. I thank you, Lord, that their households, Father God, will be covered completely by the blood of Jesus, dear Lord. Every door, every window, Father God, that the grounds around the house, Father God, would even be saturated by the blood, Father God, and that you put a hedge of protection around them, Father God, that is so thick, Father God, that not one fiery dart of the enemy can penetrate it, dear Lord. For those, Father God, on our heart, dear Lord, who are sick and shut in, Father God, and those that are in need of prayer, healing, and deliverance, Father God, we just lift them up right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, that the blessings, Father God, will flow freely and liberally, Father God, out to all those, Father God, who are in need. In Jesus' sweet, sweet holy name, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We believe you, Father God. We believe you and we worship you. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen, 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 amen. It's been a wonderful evening. We praise you. We thank you for spending time with us this evening. We look forward to hearing from you next week.
My mind, it's so hard.